I don't think you can count the Ravens out. As bad as it looks, and as many guys as are down with injuries, I mean, we're too early into the season. You know, there's too many guys in the locker room, and the organization is set up in a way that you just can't do that. Ray Lewis was my welcome to the NFL moment. Usually people say it's, you know, somebody from another team in a game. No.
Welcome into the lounge. And you know, Garrett, things are a little salty out there right now. The salt is down on the roads, but you can always, always come to the lounge for a good time.
That's true. I mean, no matter what else is going on in the outside world, doom and gloom, sky is falling, whatever else is happening, you know that the lounge is always going to be a place with honesty, with positivity, with safe place, safe zone. That's where we are here.
So, with that in mind, I don't know that we're going to read any emails at the start of the show because they are not a safe place.
That's true.
They are dark and they are rough.
They are rough. You know, we do love hearing from everybody. And we, in all honesty, we appreciate the emails that come in.
Whatever feedback you want to give.
Yeah, whatever feedback, positive, negative, or whatever. And you can always email
Except
us.
Except if it's negative about us.
If it's negative about us, forget that. Leave that out of here. Yeah. Leave that out of here.
You can take that and show it.
Yeah, but you can always email us at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. We'll get back to reading an email next week. I have a feeling that there will be some good ones, and so we'll save that for next week. But today, we don't want to waste too much time running our jibs because we have a very special guest here today, and that is former Ravens tight end Todd Heap. Todd, you are working on the media side of things. You've joined us on the dark side, and you've been working for the past few games in the Ravens broadcast booth during these games. So what do you think of this?
It is the dark side, I'll tell you that. It's hard to be in the media and have a positive spin on what you're looking at because you're there to critique and to analyze. And so that's been the hardest part so far, is just you're out there, you're watching the game, and I want to accentuate the positives because that's kind of the spin I want to have. I want to have a positive spin.
You're a positive guy.
Right. I am a positive guy, and I like to smile and have fun, and I love people.
And you love the Ravens, just a little bit.
And I love the Ravens. So. But it's been hard for a little bit. But you know what? I really enjoy what I'm doing. I enjoy, you know, working with Stan. And Jerry is – he's fantastic. Jerry Sandusky is as good as they come. So it's been – really fun working with him.
I think that's actually one thing that people don't really realize about the media is, you know, as unbiased as the media wants to be, I think most reporters that cover a team would be lying if they said they didn't hope for that team to be winning games because it makes their job easier, right? Athletes are easier to interview when they're not wanting to bite your head off, right? Everything is just so much more fun about your job when it's going well.
Yeah.
And especially for you, a former player here, I imagine that you're really hoping that things go well.
Well, there's no question. And, you know, in my few games that I've done, it's hard as a media person and being a Raven to not say we. And you want to have that unbiased, you know, overall
Dennis
look.
Just went with it.
But, you know, I do say it sometimes, and you find yourself looking back going, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Or
right.
Because, you know, in journalism and in analyst work, you want to try to be unbiased and not have a slanted, you know, view of it. So,
right.
But, you know, it is. When you know somebody and when you know people in an organization on a team, it's so much easier to root for them,
yep.
You know. And so I know so many guys on this team, and I'm rooting for all those guys. You know, I'm rooting for everybody in this organization. And, you know, that makes it fun, but it also makes it hard, you know, especially when things aren't going as planned and like you want them to.
Right.
So in a completely unbiased answer here, who's better in the play-by-play booth, you or Dennis Pitta?
I only listened to Dennis just a little bit, and he was actually really good. I was impressed with him. I've probably listened to myself about as much as I listened to Dennis.
Uh-huh.
And I have fun doing it. I'm a realist, you know, and I know it's going to take a while for me to get to where I want to be, you know, and I think I do okay. I think I do a good job, but I'm hard on myself, so it's hard for me to say, you know, oh, I'm great at it. It's just not my personality, and I also think that there's always room for improvement in anything you do.
All right, easier question then. Who's better at basketball, you or Dennis?
That's an easy question for me to answer. You know, I don't have to be too humble about that one. No, we've played a little bit of basketball, and I really quit playing basketball. It was maybe my fourth year in the NFL, and I hurt my ankle, ended up having ankle surgery after that season. And I kind of just got into this mode where I said, you know what? I'm over it. I'm not playing basketball. And basketball is my first love. It's like what I loved doing from the time I was 4 years old, you know. And so it was hard. But then Dennis comes along, and he's, you know, he's trying to get me out on the basketball court in his off seasons. I'm already retired. I'm going, what are you talking about? You know? But I love it so much. So we've had some fun over the years. I imagine he won't be playing as much anymore.
Right.
So it's
probably
hard
really
for
easy to be
get
right
me
now.
Out there as well. But I still love shooting hoops, and I love, you know, getting out there with my boys, coaching them up, and playing ball.
So I could imagine that you kind of bodied him up a little bit. You're like a little bit thicker than he is. He, you know.
It's funny you think that, but I was a two guard.
Okay.
So I was our shooting guard in high school. When I got to college, it was a little bit different story. I had gone for a year and a half, 2 years almost, without playing any basketball before I played at ASU.
Right.
And so,
wow, that's crazy.
And going from high school to, at the time, Pac-10 basketball, it's a big jump. I don't care who you are.
Sure, yeah.
And so it was, you know, my offensive game wasn't where it needed to be after not playing competitively for that long. And so I was more of a 3-4, just a defender, get after it. We had Eddie House as well, so we just were screening and passing it to him. So, you know, but against Dennis, doesn't take, you know, he's not the Pac-10 caliber. No, he's a good ball, but he does like to take it inside. He's more of a slasher.
Okay.
He likes to take it to the hoop, and he goes hard in those pickup games. Like I don't have that same type of fire for a Thursday afternoon basketball game
right.
that Dennis does, but I'll definitely sit outside and shoot all day long, and I'll play defense. But I'm not gonna risk going up in the middle of the lane and coming down on my ankle.
Right.
So let's go back to the whole play-by-play thing and working as a color analyst. Can you kind of tell us how this whole thing came about and what was the thought? Who called you from the Ravens, and was your first instinct, oh, yes, I'm definitely in? Did you take any convincing? How did that whole thing work?
Well, I've been up in the booth before with them over the last so many years and kind of got an experience, but it was only a part of a quarter here, maybe a quarter there, and enjoyed it. But Kevin Rocklitz called me this year and asked me if this was something I'd be open to, and I said, yeah, I'd be open to it. He didn't say the structure or anything.
Yeah.
He ended up calling me about, you know, a couple weeks, maybe a month later, and saying, okay, this is how we're going to do it. Could you do four games for us? And I said, I think I could do that. You know, I hate missing weekends with my kids and their ball games, but I think I could do that and have fun with it. So, and then he said, Dennis is doing the first four, you're doing the second four, Justin Forsett and Jared Johnson. I was like, okay, that's cool. You know, I like it. It's something that'll be fun for the year. You know, love all those guys, and it'll be fun for all of us to just get some experience. And who knows, maybe we'll be working with each other down the road. We'll see.
Yeah, is this something that you think you want to continue? Like, do you want to make a full-time career out of this, or are you more happy just being home with the fam and enjoying that as much as possible?
We'll see. I mean, you have to weigh everything
right.
when the time comes, but we'll see what happens. I don't know. I do know that I'm having fun doing it right now, and
right.
I do know that I like, you know, kind of that feeling of the game when you're getting into it. You can't ever replace that when you're finished playing football. There's no way to replace the feeling of going out on the football field and making plays and winning ball games. You're just in front of, you know, thousands and thousands of fans, especially the Ravens fans, who are the best. And so there's no way that you can replace that in anything you do, that feeling. And this kind of gives you a little bit of that, you know, back
as
in
close
the game.
As you can get now.
Yeah, you're close, and you get that little feeling in your stomach and your gut that, you know, it's game time, it's time to go. And you get to be close to it, you get to see and feel and hear the hits. Some of that stuff you don't miss
You don't miss being the guy that gets
hearing
the
hit. Hits. Yes. Yeah, you miss that part.
But the feeling that you get from it, you know, is cool, and you get to experience that.
Right.
Now, you've kind of been a bad luck, though. You've done 3 games, right, so far?
Yeah.
And the last 2 have been pretty tough, the Vikings game and the Bears game. So, yeah, I'm not blaming you, but you've kind of came in at a rough time here.
Well, Dennis was 2-2.
Okay, that's true.
And
you have a chance to get back to down. You have a chance to get back to 500.
Yeah. I'm hoping to get to 500. You know, coming into that Oakland game, everybody was, you know,
right, down.
Everybody's down. Everybody's, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought we played fantastically that game. I say we.
Yeah, right. There's the
there
you go.
I'm in the building. So, yeah. You know, I thought the guys played great. I thought Joe played his mm-hmm. best game to date. Mm-hmm. And so I was seeing some things going, okay, there's a chance where they, you know, they can take this and run with it. Especially with the next, you know, with the schedule coming up, you
right.
look at the teams and you look at how they're doing across the league and you're going, okay.
You fall victim to the thing that we do, which is we do this like 100 times throughout the year. You look at the schedule and you say, win, that's probably a loss, going to be a tough one. All right, we're going to be 12-4.
We revise that like 15 times over the course of the year.
Well, that's the media thing to do.
Yeah, exactly.
As players, you know that every week is different. You know that the makeup of every game is going to be different. You know that, you know, there's, I mean, we're a perfect example of injuries and how teams can change from one week to the next
yep.
and throughout a whole season. It's just there's so much turnover and so many different things that happen. Certain quarterbacks can get hot. Running backs can get hot. You know, defenses can get on a roll. And so every week is a new game. It's a new matchup. And anything can happen. And that's the beauty and the parity of the NFL. That's kind of what everybody loves about it
mm-hmm.
is there are those ups and downs. I mean, you hate it when it's your team that's on the down, but you look across the league and it's a competitive league. That's what's so fun about it.
Eagles fans are pretty happy right now.
Most other sports, this is a league where any team can step up and get the job done. Now, are there some teams that are better and more consistent at it because of certain reasons? Yes.
Obviously, right.
You know, there's five to six, seven teams that are always in the top of the league because of their organizations and the way they run things.
But right? It is different. Like, you compare it to the NBA, and you look at the NBA, and you're like, it's probably going to be the Cavs and the Warriors back in the championship.
It's like three or four teams.
And you can probably, the Spurs maybe, like, it's a short list.
Yeah.
In the NFL, no one was really picking the Falcons to be there last year at the start of the season. You know, the Patriots are a safe pick pretty much every year, but beyond them, like, you look at it and no one had the Eagles being a team this year that like might be the best team in the league.
Yeah.
And they might be.
Look at the Rams.
The Rams are a great example.
I mean, the Rams, I mean, everybody had forgotten about them.
Mm-hmm.
They get a new coach. They get a couple different pieces.
Yep.
And they come in and look what they're doing offensively. So there's so many, anything can happen in the NFL. That's what's so cool about it is a change of a couple players here, a coach, a perspective on how to do things.
Right.
And you can be right in the mix.
Well, and it can change during a season. I mean, you look at the 2012 Ravens season as an example. Lost 4 of the last 5 games of the season.
Both Super Bowl years for the Ravens.
That's true, I mean, yeah.
They went weeks and weeks without scoring a touchdown
right.
In 2000. So, I've experienced that here with the Ravens where you know, offensively you're not playing as well. Defense has to pick you up. But, you know, we've had some great seasons around here when it – you know, there was times in the year during a season where you're like, oh, how are we going to get there?
Right.
How are we going to get to the playoffs and just find a way?
So with that in mind, then, I'm feeling more optimistic.
Yeah, you're kind of turning
here.
Yeah, you're turning the tide.
You know what? And I don't think you can count the Ravens out. As bad as it looks, and as many guys as are down with injuries. I don't think, I mean, we're too early into the season, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you kind of have a feeling towards the end of October of the outlook and what the playoff picture might look like. I don't think you can count the Ravens out yet. There's too many guys in the locker room, and the organization is set up in a way that you just can't do that.
I like it.
But you got to beat the Dolphins on Thursday Night Football.
You do.
Yeah.
And it's funny. That was one of my faux pas last week, And it's it eats you up when you're in the booth and you're announcing. It didn't look like the Miami was going to win that game.
Last week.
Yeah, they're down like 14 in the second half.
Yeah.
A quarterback gets hurt.
And Jerry Sandusky's reading off the score, and I never went back and looked at it, but I knew they were still down.
Right.
And so at the time, at the end of the game, I'm saying, okay, they're coming off of a loss on a short week, you know.
Right.
That puts us in a little better position. And yeah, we get it. We get on the plane on the ride home, and I'm like, oh.
They won that game.
Yeah. Jerry, I messed that one up. No, that's the thing. There's going to be times up in the booth where you do make a wrong call or something.
Yeah.
You just got to roll with it.
Yeah. So when you look at this offense, Todd, being an offensive guy, how do you see this unit improving? What do they have to do? Where do you see the hope for this group?
Let's see. We need Mike Wallace and Macklin to be in the lineup.
Yeah.
Because we need that deep threat. I think we have to get the ball down the field. Without that threat, defenses are just loading up on the box, and they're not really respecting what we can do. And with the injuries on the offensive line, running the ball has to be a big part of our offense, you know, because that's what offensive linemen really want to do.
Right.
More so than pass block. They want to go downhill and hit somebody and form a lane. And I don't think they did a horrible job at that against the Vikings this last week. I think they had quite a few plays where I'm watching from up in the booth going, everybody had their man blocked. There was a wall. Alex Collins, Buck Allen, they had a lane to run in, and they're going downhill. They're getting 5 yards on first down. You know, there was multiple times where there was some good opportunities and everybody was blocked up. Now, to be consistent with it, you have to be consistent in every facet of the offense. So you have to be consistent throwing the ball down the field. You have to be consistent in your intermediate game as well as your short passing game. And it's just going to take the repetition. We've got a lot of young guys right now in our receiving corps that don't have a lot of experience. We don't know what they can do. You know, we just haven't seen it. So it's going to take those guys to step up and show the Ravens, show the team what they can do, and also show Joe what they can do. Because everybody gives Joe a hard time because he's the quarterback. He's the guy. He's our leader. Mm-hmm. And our offense is anemic right now. You know, we don't have the stats, the yards, we're bottom in the league.
Right.
You know, and everybody puts that on Joe's shoulders. You know, naturally, Joe will put it on his shoulders as well because he's not going to call anybody out, just the type of guy he is.
Right.
But Joe's not playing bad. I'm watching the games with my eyes, and I'm watching the film, and Joe's not playing a bad game. Is he playing as great as he wants to play?
Right.
No, but nobody on the offense is, and it's not clicking for him to be able to get in that groove.
Right.
But if some of these guys can step up and start making some plays for him, start building some momentum, some confidence, I don't think all hope is lost for this season with the Ravens.
You know, I'm curious, when you first come into the league and early in your career, it's the Ravens defense, and that's all anybody talks about, and the offense is almost like an afterthought. You know, it's like everything on this team was built around Ray Lewis and the defense. And we're not at that point right now with the Ravens offense and the defense, but the defense is playing better. How do you prevent?
Well, and that was kind of like over the offseason. It was made clear what the strategy was. It was load up in the draft, load up in free agency on defense. We're going to go back to the roots, kind of from your roots.
Yeah.
You know?
How do you prevent when, like, that is sort of the mentality going into a season and with the way things have played out? How do you prevent, like, a divide taking place in the locker room?
Well, that's just on the guys in the locker room to do it. You know, I mean, I think Suggs has done a fantastic job this year of being a leader and kind of telling everybody else who may think that how it is. You know, I think he's done a great job. And he's just matured so much from his first year when I sent him coming. I mean, it's fantastic to see. And he's still playing at such a high level. It's really spectacular. But that's how you do it. With the guys in the locker room, guys that are true leaders understand that it takes the whole team. And I hate the notion going into the season saying our defense is going to be what takes care of it for us. I think you should always go into the season saying, our offense is going to be great. Our defense is going to be great. We're going to be a great team. You know, I think it takes both sides. I don't think you can put all your eggs in one basket. I would, and the Ravens have always been, we've always been a defensive, you know, oriented team. You know? And there's nothing wrong with that because you want your defense to be the best, but you also want your offense to be the best. And you know, it should irk the guys on the offense when people talk like that.
Right.
And it should drive them. It always drove me. I always said, you know, I don't want us to be known as a defensive team. We always were, but I wanted to make a name for ourselves. You know, I want our offense to do something spectacular. And so hopefully it irks enough guys in that locker room enough that they can kind of turn that around.
How tough is it for an offensive player, though, when you see the investments made on defense and whatnot, and you like you said, this is a defensive franchise, you know? Is it tough being on the offensive side of the ball to kind of, keep your confidence, I don't know what it is, but when you see that, is how does that make your job more difficult, I guess?
It doesn't make your job more difficult. It's, you know, it's for fodder. You know, people talk about it, and it's the media is always interjecting those things. But as a player, you know, like I said, it drove me.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't something where I was like, you know, you're weighing me down. It drove me.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it takes. It's going to take enough guys on the offense that it just drives them to be the best, drives them to go out there and prove something.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I believe that, like I said, there's still room. There's a lot of room for improvement, but there's still time to get it right.
Right.
I'm curious. You brought up Terrell Suggs. You know him. You've known him for a long time, fellow Arizona State Sun Devil, and you know, you've seen him progress. Are you surprised that he's still in the league? And are you surprised that he's developed into the leader that he has when you think about where he was when he first came into the NFL?
I'm not surprised at any of that because I've known Terrell for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And he's always been this young, fun-loving kid. And he's always kind of been demonstrative and boisterous. You know, had that personality. He's always had that personality. I mean, it was from day one, his freshman year at ASU at Arizona State. He was the same then as he is now as far as his fun-loving, you know, personality. But the thing that people don't know about Terrell is he is a really smart, he's a brilliant guy.
He is.
Yeah, he's very, very smart.
And people don't see that because they see a certain personality, persona, but they don't see, you know, how smart he really is and what he's doing, you know, on the field and in the locker room. He's just an all-around smart guy. Sometimes he tries to play it off like he's not or something. I don't know what it is, but he's really smart, and it's been awesome for me to see, because I've seen him, you know, from ASU all the way here. It's been awesome for so many people to see just the leader he's developed into, you know. Because, you know, it was always Ray Lewis. It was always certain guys.
Right.
But everybody can be a leader in their own way, and as you get older, as you become a veteran, you develop, you know, into the style of leader that you want to be, and he's been a good one for this Ravens team, the Ravens defense especially.
I want to go back. You talk about, you know, Suggs when you first came in the league. I want to talk about when you first came into the league, because you came in right off the Super Bowl, the heels of the Super Bowl, and Hard Knocks was your first introduction to the NFL. And you were one of my favorite characters on Hard Knocks because you come in and you seem very young. When you came in,
I was the youngest 21-year-old ever to come in.
I was very young.
I was very naive as to the ways of the world. I was not immature, you know, but I was naive to the ways of the world, and coming from Mesa, Arizona, you know, where I came from, it was understandable, but. Yeah, I look back and I just shake my head at that first year. Especially, it's hard for me to watch Hard Knocks because I just shake my head and laugh at myself.
Well, you were newlywed. Yeah. You just got married to your wife, Ashley. You come in, and didn't you, like, carry her into the condo or the apartment that you guys got on the TV show?
Well, you got to understand, we, like, literally had just, we just got married a week prior.
Wow. You know?
And so.
So training camp was your honeymoon.
It was. It was. We went on, like, a two-day honeymoon to California and Disneyland. Uh-huh. You know, went from Arizona there and then flew straight to Baltimore for camp.
Wow.
And so, you know, we didn't really get our honeymoon until after the season was over. But, you know, it was, yeah, I look back with fond memories, but also I look back and just laugh at how young I was.
What things were a rude awakening when you first came into the league?
I don't know if there was much rude awakening as far as football was concerned. Mm-hmm.
But like it was just like life on your own kind
of? Yeah, I mean it was the first time I'd ever really been away from home, you know, and same with my wife, same with Ashley. And so, you know, we get out here and she'd never been away. She's homesick and she's, you know, doesn't have any friends or family out here. Yeah. And so it was kind of tough just finding your own way out here, you know, on our own and doing our own thing. But I'll tell you what, it was great for our relationship and our marriage and to be able to do that and grow together on our own.
Yeah, it's trial by fire.
It really has made us a lot, for sure it's trial by fire, but it's made us a lot stronger.
So tell us about the first time that you met Ray Lewis.
First time, well, Ray Lewis was my welcome to the NFL moment. Usually people say it's, you know, somebody from another team in the game. No, the way we practiced back then, we went all out, and training camp was something else. Hmm. You know, and Brian Billick did take care of us in some respects, but he did that knowing we were trying to take each other's heads off at practice, you know? And so that was, we put on pads for the first time, we get to training camp, and that was probably the most veteran team in the history of the NFL. I mean, we had so many veteran guys that had made a name for themselves, that were pro bowlers, that were already Hall of Fame caliber guys. And, this is kind of a big deal. I'm playing with all these guys that I've been watching on TV for so many years. And very first play for me, I go right over the middle, right in front, you know, catch a little route right in front of Ray Lewis, and he just comes downhill and just drills me right in the middle of my back. Ooh. And I think I went, you know, 4 yards the other way. You know, it was only a 5-yard catch, forward progress, so I ended up getting 5 yards. But he hit me so hard, and I held onto the ball, and I don't remember what he said to me because I was too far away from me. He hit me so hard, but I think, you know, he was like, all right, this guy can do it, you know. I mean, you try to earn your respect early in the NFL. You want to go out and show him what you can do, especially in practice. But that was, I mean, when he hit me that solidly in practice, I was like, okay, this is a different ball game.
Yeah.
This is not the same thing as college football. It's a different ballgame.
You could have gotten in your first fight, your first like scrum right then.
Or with Ray?
Practice with Ray. That would have been a ballsy move. You say, my first NFL play is going to be with Ray Lewis on my first practice.
It's funny. Had it been a dirty hit, maybe I would have tried that. But it was clean as I get. I mean, he drilled me hard right in the back. And that was funny. Like, that was a piece of advice my uncle gave me. You know, he's like, you gotta get in a fight.
Great advice.
I was like, you know, that was not my personality, whatever. And I got my share of, you know, practice scrums. Uh-huh. But it took a lot to get me one.
That's great.
You know, Todd, I think it's really cool that you have maintained, you know, such a great rapport with the organization. You know, you're one of the players that, I mean, Ring of Honor and all that, but you are somebody that still has a really close ties to this organization. And that's not necessarily the case for every player when they leave. I mean, the Ravens released you in 2011, and some players may like harbor ill will towards a team for that. Why have you been able to stay so close to the organization, and did it take you a while to get over that, or what is your thought on that?
No, it didn't take me hardly any time to get over it. I mean, when they did release me, you can bet I was frustrated.
Sure.
I was mad. I wanted to finish my career here as a Raven. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I have a fault that I I'm able, I see both sides of every, you know, of everything. And so I can see the side from the management, what they're thinking, and, you know, and I also see my side and what I'm thinking too. So I knew business was business, and I'm not going to hold that against anybody in the building. And I was here for 10 years. You know, I was here for 10 years, and I had the greatest time here. And the fans were so cool to me. Took me in from literally the first from Hard Knocks. And so I just had such a great experience in Baltimore here, and I had such a great experience with the people in this organization. I mean, I know you guys can attest to it, but from ownership on down, every level of management, they give you what you need to do your job. Mm-hmm. And they're great people. Mm-hmm. You know, this organization, there's a reason why the Ravens will never be down for long. And it's because it starts from the top. You know, when I got here, it was Art Modell. And shortly after, it was Steve Bisciotti. And he changed a few things, but he kind of came in that same mold of how to run an organization and how to handle things. And it's just been first class all the way. And so I look at the Ravens as kind of a beacon of how you want to do things. And for any organization or any business or anything anywhere, the Ravens have always done things the right way, and they surround themselves with really good people across the board. There's so many great people in this building that I have such high respect for. And I love coming back around the building because I love to see all those faces, and there's a lot of continuity as well. And that's the sign of a great organization as well. So, you know, I love seeing some of these guys, you know, guys that I've been here for a long time with, and you go through a lot with, and you experience so many different things with. So, no, there's not enough good things I can say about this organization, not only for giving me an opportunity, but for also just how they handle their business.
Well, the only bad thing you can say is, what the hell, guys? You brought me in the year after the first Super Bowl, 2011, 2 years before the second one.
You know how
Come
many
on.
Times I have to explain this? You know, and I hate when people ask me to sign, they'll bring a Super Bowl ball or something. You know, will you sign this for me? I'm like, yeah, I'll sign it, but I didn't play on
Right. If there's any Raven, honestly, if we're making a list of Ravens who deserve a Super Bowl ring but didn't get one, you would absolutely be at the top of that list.
No, and, you know, I'm super, you know, elated about my career and what I was able to do here. And for the 10 years that I was here, you know, a Super Bowl would have been awesome, but it doesn't take away from anything from my experience. You know, we had so many great seasons. You have the ups and downs, but we had such a great time, and I met so many great people. Those are the things you remember, you know, is the people you're around, the guys in the locker room. I mean, we had some really fun times, and those are the times you miss, is you know, so many good people, and you don't get to see them as much, but when you do, it's like you caught up right where you left off.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Todd, we're glad to have you back here, you know, today and doing these four games. So thank you very much for your time today. And, you know, we'll be enjoy listening to you on the radio broadcast. This is your last game, so you have a chance to get back to 500. So we hope that happens.
Let's get back to 500.
It's like a coach's record.
Short week. We haven't lost at home on Thursday night.
Yep.
Let's not jinx that.
All right. Here we go. Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
Well, good stuff from Todd. Awesome. One thing we were talking about before we went on the air was some of the hits that he took over the years.
That's true.
Oh, my lordy, lordy, lordy.
He never, when he would get tackled, it was never like a shoestring tackle that like casually brought him down.
No.
It was every single time, it was a bone-crushing hit by like three different guys that got sandwiched between them, helmet to helmet, like every single time.
Right. I mean, we talked a little bit about the offense during his days. I mean, this guy played with 10 quarterbacks in 10 years, I want to say. I don't ever remember him catching a single ball that was like an easy catch on the run, just cruising to the end zone.
Yeah.
Literally, I don't remember that happening one time.
Yeah, yeah. He like you said to him, if there's anybody that is on the list of guys that deserve a Super Bowl ring, Todd's at the top of that list. So
for sure.
He's one of the best Ravens ever, and he's also one of the best guys to ever wear a Ravens uniform.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great dude. So Thank you very much to Todd Heap. And
You can listen to Todd. This is a little plug for the radio broadcast. Go ahead and listen to Todd and Jerry Sandusky, Stan White, 98 Rock, WBAL. Also, you can stream that on our website. So go ahead and listen to that, and it's a great way to listen to the game rather than just watching on TV.
Yeah, and just to give fans a little insight here, I am still working on booking Alex Collins for the podcast. He walked in yesterday. I said, "Alex, today's the day, big dog. We're doing this." And he's like, "Oh man, I got a meeting I got to go to." I'm like, "No, you don't. I looked at the schedule." And he's like, oh, then he gets to the teammates to, corroborate his story.
Oh, yeah.
"Hey, man, hey, Brashad, Benjamin Watson, don't we have a meeting?" "Yeah, sure, yeah." And then I'm like, "All right, fine. When's the meeting end?" He says, 4:30, I'll be back in my locker. I said, "I'm going to be at your locker." He goes, "Well, yeah, maybe I won't be at my locker, but I'll do it if you can find me."
We've heard every excuse
in
the
books. It's
unreal. We've heard every excuse in the books over our time of doing this. Nothing will phase us or fool us. You can try everything. It's like
we're getting him.
Oh, we're gonna get him at some point.
He is a marked man on my list. I'm telling you this. I'm bringing in the FBI. I'm hunting this dude down. Anyway, we'll get Alex Collins on the pod. So make sure you're tuning in next week. And we'll be back with you for a lot more fun times in the lounge.